One day Moses, he looks out and he sees an Egyptian brutalizing a Hebrew. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs of water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "Where is he?" Reuel asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving to us Your Word. May we learn what You'd have us to learn, believe what we should believe, and put into practice the truths of Scripture. May we rely upon You and trust in You. Father, this morning I pray that if there is anyone who is not a believer, that today would be the day that Your Spirit draws them, that You give them the gift of faith, and they trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's in His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In Proverbs 19:21, Solomon wrote, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Thomas A. Kempis paraphrased this centuries ago when he wrote, "Man proposes, but God disposes." You know, I don't know about you, but I've made a lot of plans in my life. I've schemed, I've plotted, I have prepared, and sometimes, a lot of times, things have not worked out quite the way I had planned for them to. That ever happened to you? You ever have things not go according to plan? Maybe that a vacation that you were planning to take didn't go quite the way you thought it would when you find you've been delayed on flights and you spend the night in the airport and you end up losing a couple of days of vacation after you had planned for years. I heard about a couple who were trying to vacation in Ireland and they got stuck in the airport and lost a couple of days. Things like that happen. I heard about a couple who had worked their whole lives, and their plan was once he retired, they were gonna vacation. Just days after retirement, he passed away, and they never got to take all those trips. Things don't go the way that we planned, things that we wanted, the way that we wanted them to go. Man proposes, but God disposes. This morning, we see that Moses hatched a plan. Moses came up with a plan to do something that was great, something that was good, but it went off the rails very quickly. This morning I want us to take note of Moses' plans and the results. And the first thing we have to take note of are the things that he did right. What Moses got right. This morning we see here that Moses, he's grown up. If you remember last week, Moses was a baby. When he was 3 months old, his mother hid him in a basket, put him in an aisle, and Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and rescued the baby, and Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household. And now, here in verse 11, years have gone by. In fact, Acts chapter 7 tells us that he was 40 years old when this takes place. What had happened? Up on the screen, I've got Acts chapter 7. Look at this text. At that time, Moses was born. And he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own. And Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. This is a summary of the first 40 years of Moses' life. He was raised as Egyptian royalty. He goes from the ghettos of Goshen, if you would, and he is raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He doesn't simply have a room, he has a suite of rooms. He has a silver spoon. He is given the best education in the world at the time. He is skilled in mathematics and language. He learned multiple languages. He certainly learned the Egyptian hieroglyphics. He was schooled in the ancient language of Akkadian, the commerce language of the day. He knew Hebrew. He probably knew other languages that were spoken in the court. He was a well-educated man. Not only that, but he was also a man who was trained to serve in combat. Secular historians tell us that Moses, when he was in his 30s, led an army to Ethiopia and conquered the Ethiopian army in the name of Pharaoh. He was a skilled and powerful man. He was powerful in what he was able to say. He was handsome. He was attractive. He was charismatic. He could mesmerize you with his speech. He was strong and powerful and mighty. But Moses had a problem. Though he was raised as Egyptian royalty, he was educated in Egypt, though he was successful in all that he was doing, though he was poised to be someone great in Egypt, something bothered him. Because Moses knew that even though he was being treated as an Egyptian, even though he dressed like an Egyptian, even though he could talk and act like an Egyptian, he was, at his heart, in his core, a Hebrew. And he looked out and he saw his people being enslaved and oppressed and tormented. And it bothered him. Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith, the chronicle of the great heroes of faith, pick up the account. Here on the screen we see the verses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. The thing that Moses got right in his life was he chose to identify with the people of God. Even though he was raised in wealth and in opulence, he said, I reject all of this. I reject the comfort and privilege of Egypt, and I embrace my identity as a child of God, and I identify with the people of God. Dear friends, do you have that kind of faith? Do you have the kind of faith that says, you know what, I'm going to turn my back on the wealth and the wisdom and the power of the world. I'm going to turn my back on the creature comforts that the world offers to embrace the call of God in my life. I identify with Christ and no one else. Do you have that kind of faith? Boys and girls, this year you're going to go to school and you're going to have a choice to make. Are you going to be a Christian? Or are you going to go along with the crowd? Moms and dads, you got a choice to make. Are you going to raise your family and take your family along so that you get the applause and the accolades of other parents and get all the trophies that the world offers? Or are you going to say, we're going to be followers of Jesus. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord no matter what others may say about us. Grandparents, are you willing to say, you know what? The world says retirement is all about me, all about what I want, but I'm a follower of Christ. I identify with Him. I'm going to spend my golden years, my retirement years, serving the Lord in whatever way that may be. How will you identify yourself? What will you choose? You choose Egypt? Or you choose the Israelites? Moses made his choice, and it was the right choice. It was the good choice. He identified with the people of God, and that is what you and I are called to do. Where are your loyalties today? To whom is your greatest and highest allegiance? Moses got something very right here, but he also got something very wrong. He identified with the people of God, but it ended in failure and disgrace. One day Moses, he looks out and he sees an Egyptian brutalizing a Hebrew. Maybe he was beating him to death. And Moses decides, this is going to be the day. This is going to be my moment. I must do something. Now, that's not bad. Friends, you and I sometimes need to step up and do something. But Moses stepped up and he did something, and it was unfortunately the wrong thing. You see, he acted in self-assurance. He made an assumption. If you go back and you read in Acts chapter 7 a little later on in that passage, we find that Moses was assuming that the Israelites would understand that God had raised him up to be a deliverer. You see, Moses thought if he could stop this Egyptian, he's going to kill this Egyptian, and the Israelites, they would flock to him, and they would see Moses as their Savior. But that's not what happened. Moses came in with self-assurance, self-confidence, self-reliance. He made it an assumption, I'll deliver them. He set his own timetable, I'm going to do it right now, and he did it in his own strength. And so the next day when he sees fellow Israelites fighting and he breaks them up, the cat's out of the bag, right? The deed has become known. And Moses realizes things have not worked out quite the way he planned them to. We know that Moses knew he shouldn't do what he was doing, what he did. You see this in verse 12. Looking this way and that. Before he acted, he's looking around. He's peering over his shoulder. That's a clear sign that what you're about to do shouldn't be done. If you are ashamed of what you're about to do, if you are embarrassed about what you are going to do, if you what you are about to do you don't want known, then maybe you shouldn't do it. Moses acted in the flesh. Moses came up with a plan in his own mind. He enacted this plan in his own strength, according to his own timetable, and it was a disaster. He was energized by the flesh and not by the Spirit. When I talk about the flesh, when the Bible talks about flesh, it's not talking about your skin and your bones. It's talking about your flesh nature, your carnal nature, the way that you try to live life independently of God. And the Bible tells us over and over again, that will never, ever work. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Not, you can do a little bit, you can do some, you can achieve a certain level. No, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You say, but wait a minute, I can do all sorts of things. Sure you can. And they all lead to a mess. They all lead to a disaster. They are all constructed out of sand and they're washed away when the wave comes rolling in. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You try to act independently without the Lord, it's going to be a mess in your life. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord reminds us, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You try to raise your kids according to whatever book Oprah has recommended, or Dr. Phil's advice, you're going to get what Oprah can produce and Dr. Phil can suggest. Are they even still on? I don't know. I don't know. You want assurance? Listen to the Lord and follow His directions. Are you trying to do good things, even things for the Lord and His kingdom, but are you trying to do them in your own power, in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own time? The old hymn says, the arm of flesh will fail you every single time. Moses had a disaster. He ends up having to flee Egypt in disgrace, in shame, in regret, in failure, in fear. He runs away from Egypt. He goes to Midian, and he meets a man named Reuel. He's also given the name Jethro later on in the Bible. He's a distant relative. Abraham, you remember Abraham had Sarah as his wife, and Sarah produced Isaac and Isaac Jacob. That's where Moses came from. That's his line. But after Sarah had died, Abraham married another wife. Her name was Keturah. And from Keturah and her descendants, her children, came the Midianites. So they were kind of like distant cousins by this time. Moses gets there and he sees these distant relatives. He probably didn't realize that they were relatives when he met them. But he saw these shepherd girls being harassed and hurt by these bullies. And so he steps in and intervenes. Now this time he just kind of keeps them safe. He doesn't strike anybody down. He doesn't try to kill anybody. He's just, remember, I said sometimes you got to act, and Moses sees a need, and he does what he is able to do, but he doesn't go too far. He helps to protect them. And he settles in to Midian there, and he starts living his life. And 40 years pass. He marries Zipporah. They have a child, names him Gershom. The name Gershom means foreigner. I'm a foreigner in a foreign land. Moses lost his sense of self. You see, he was raised an Egyptian. He turned his back on it. He said, I'm going to be an Israelite. I'm going to be the leader. And that didn't work out, and Moses kind of gave up. He said, I don't know what to do anymore. And he just settled in. Moses had a plan, but God had a purpose. Here we see God's purposes, God's plans, and the results. Even though things didn't work out according to Moses' plan, God was at work in Moses' life, even though Moses didn't realize it. Moses, he needed to be humbled. And he needed to be prepared for the work that God was going to have him do. Yes, God was going to use Moses to be a deliverer, but not in Moses' way and not in Moses' time. God was preparing him. Moses had the right motives, but he had the wrong method. He had the right goal, but the wrong timetable. And so God is setting Moses on the right path. And in the wilderness of Midian, Moses is going to learn patience and humility. Friends, God is doing the same things in our lives. He is at work in us to prepare us to accomplish the things He would have us do through us. The good news for us this morning is our failures are not final. God can use those who have messed up just like He used Moses. God uses our failures to prepare us for the future. You may have messed up big time in your life. You may be ashamed. You may be filled with regrets. But God can take all of those mistakes, all of those sins, and He can turn it and use them to accomplish the good things that He wants to do in your life. Your failures are not final because God is bigger than your failures. Moses settled in this desert for 40 years. He was humbled and he was quiet, but they were not a waste. Sometimes when we feel like we're on the sidelines, when we feel like we've been set aside, when we feel like we have messed up and there's nowhere else for us to go and we're just kind of sitting there, it's not a waste. God's at work. Be patient and trust in Him. Don't get in a rush. God's timing is always perfect. Not only was God at work in Moses' life, but He was also at work in Israel. The time rolls on, and the Israelites continue to suffer. Verse 23 says that the Israelites groaned in their slavery. They cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard them. Verse 24 says that He remembered His covenant. God remembers, not because He had forgotten and had to be reminded. No, the Bible says God remembers in the sense that God kept it in mind. God kept it in the forefront of His thinking. God hears what's going on. He hears your cries. He remembers the promises He made to you. He does not ever forget you. And God cares. God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, He cares. He is touched with my grief and yours too. When you are hurting, remember, God hears your cries and He acts on your behalf, but He does it in His time. We get impatient. We want God to respond instantly. But God's plans, God's ways are much bigger than ours. And what He has in store is much better than you and I can imagine. We've all had the experience of going to the ER. And when you go to the ER, you're finally at the point where you're like, I want help now. I want something to make this stop hurting. I want somebody to fix this hurt, this pain, this suffering, this grief. You come in, and to our untrained eyes, those nurses, those people checking you in, just don't care. Now, we know that's not true, intellectually, as we're setting out over here. When you're in the ER, you want the attention immediately, but they don't give it immediately. Why? Because they do triage. And somebody who's coming in having a heart attack needs more attention than my broken bone needs. Yeah, it doesn't feel good right now. It hurts. But I'm not going to die from it. That person having a stroke needs immediate attention. I've got a cut that needs stitches. Well, you know, we've got it covered up and it's all right. Doesn't feel all right to me. God does triage in our lives. He knows that in order for His purposes to be accomplished in us, He's got to do things in a certain way, in a certain timetable for our sake. And so God does things in His time, in His way. What you and I have to do is trust in Him. Know that He cares, He hears, He's not forgotten us. Just be patient and wait on Him. And we know this because this is how God always works. You see, the Bible tells us that 2,000 years ago, God sent another deliverer for the world. A deliverer who was better than Moses. Unlike Moses, Christ came at just the right time. He didn't come ahead. Galatians 4:4 said it was at just the right time that He was born. At the right moment in history. And when Jesus came, he came not only at the right time, he did everything in the right way. His motives were pure, but his actions were pure as well. In John 8:28, Jesus says, "I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." Jesus did only the things that his Father approved and directed him to do. That's why we can trust in him. We're thankful for Moses's, but you know, he messed up. God still used him, but we still needed Jesus. That's why Jesus came. And Jesus comes to redeem us from all of our sin, all of our failures, all of our shortcomings. And so this morning, if you'll put your trust in him, if you'll wait upon the Lord and commit yourself to Christ, he can take your messed up life, your disastrous plans, and accomplish good things through them. Will you trust him today? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, may our faith and trust be in Christ as we wait upon you. May we identify ourselves with you. May we commit ourselves to you. And as we do, help us not to get ahead of your plan for our lives, but seek to do your will in your way, in your time. Father, we know that though right now we're praying for this and we want that to be true in our lives, we mess up. We have messed up, and we're going to mess up again. We're going to sin. We're going to fall short. We're going to rush ahead. We're going to depend upon our own strength, our own wisdom, our own cunning, and we're going to make a mess of things. Father, thank you for your amazing grace that guarantees and assures us that our failures are not final, but that you continue to work to bring about your good purposes. And so, Father, for every person who is here this morning, I just pray you would accomplish all you intend in their lives. Thank you for being the God who hears, the God who sees, the God who remembers, the God who cares, and the God who accomplishes all good things in your people. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.